seeking the Lord's help this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the passage that we read together, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The title of this morning's sermon is a question: how can we please God? How can we please God? And it's a question of great importance that we must ask ourselves: how can you and I please God? And it's an important question to consider, because if we please God, we shall receive great blessings. We shall be forgiven. We shall be adopted into God's family. We shall escape God's wrath upon sin, and we shall receive everlasting life. But the opposite is also true. If we don't please God, then we shall bring upon ourselves sorrow and suffering without relief in this life, and we shall endure God's condemnation to an eternal hell of torments. Clearly, it ought to be our desire to please God, seeing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And our text informs us how we may please God, because it tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. And so we can conclude that we must have faith if we are to please God. And so God is telling us through his word that we need to possess faith if we are to please him. Now, you may strive to live a good life in your own power, but unless you have faith, your life is not going to be pleasing to God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded, with all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And God says to us, with all your actions, all your words and all your thoughts, you must bring faith. Or else, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, this isn't something new that the writer to the Hebrews is telling us, but from the time of the first family of Adam and Eve and their children, it was always so that we must have faith if we are to please God. In verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, we are told, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Now, both Cain and Abel brought a legitimate offering. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of the first offspring of his flock, a lamb or a kid. Both offerings were among those later commanded by God to the children of Israel. Both were in themselves acceptable. And Cain places his fruit on his altar, and Abel places his young lamb or kid on his altar. Both offerings are equal in value. Which one will God accept? We read in Genesis 4, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why not? What was the difference between Abel and Cain? Because there must be a difference between Abel and Cain, because their offerings were both legitimate and acceptable. Hebrews 11 verse 4 tells us the difference. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith was the crucial ingredient which Abel's offering had, but which Cain's did not. Even then, without faith, it was impossible to please God. And so this morning, we look at this text, Hebrews 11, verse 6. We shall consider, firstly, what is faith? Then secondly, without faith, it is impossible to be saved. And then thirdly, do you have that faith which pleases God? So we come to the first heading. What is faith? Faith may be defined as the work of the Holy Spirit, His gift to God's elect, enabling them to believe as true whatever God has revealed in His Word, and enabling them to accept, receive, and rest upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. Our definitions are useful, but not so helpful in a verbal presentation. But we can break down faith into three segments. The first is knowledge. The second is assent. And the third word is an old word called affiance. Affiance is a laying hold of the knowledge to which we give assent and making it our own by trusting in it. So the first thing in faith is knowledge. We cannot believe in what we do not know. Now that was recognized by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. In Romans 10 verse 14 he asks, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There will be homes around us where absolutely nothing will be known about the Lord Jesus Christ except the use of his name as a swear word. How can people in those homes have faith when they know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ, when they know nothing about God, when they know nothing about the Bible? They cannot have faith because they have no knowledge. And so for a person to have true faith, they need to know something of the Bible. And that is one reason why it is absolutely essential that any evangelistic activity of the church includes the Word of God. There has to be some degree of knowledge before there can be faith. How can we gain the knowledge that we need to have true faith? We need to read and to hear the Word of God. It's by searching and reading the Bible that knowledge comes. And by knowledge comes faith. And through faith comes salvation. But then we have the second segment, which is assent. We can know something and yet not have faith. I know that in June 2016, this country voted in a referendum to leave the EU. But I don't have much faith that the outcome of that referendum will be honoured. I have knowledge, but I don't have that degree of confidence. But as concerns saving faith, it is not sufficient just to read the Bible and gain knowledge from reading it, but we must give assent to the truth of the Bible. Assent must go with faith. What we know of the Bible, we must also agree as being the certain truth of God. You and I should receive the scriptures as being the truth of the living God. We must receive with all our heart the whole of scripture as the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We must give our agreement that what the Bible teaches concerning our need of salvation is absolutely true. True faith gives full assent to the whole of the Bible. Now, some people want to pick and choose which bits of the Bible to believe. But that breaks any hope of true faith. Others may believe the Bible, but they have a half-hearted attitude to it. But if you willfully bring a half-heartedness to the Bible, then you don't have the faith which looks alone to Christ. Because true faith gives full assent to the scriptures. True faith declares, I give my full and wholehearted agreement to every word of the Bible, whether it is God's warnings or his promises, whether it is the law or the gospel, whether it is narrative or prophecy. Faith says, I believe that since it is all the word of God, it is most assuredly true. And if you desire to be saved, you must have some knowledge of the Bible and give full agreement that it is God's truth. But then we have that third segment of faith, that old word, affiance. And we need that third segment because it's possible to know the Bible and give your full agreement that the entire Bible is God's truth, and still not possess true faith. And it's not enough merely to acknowledge the Bible as the truth. We must take hold of it as being ours. We must rest on God's word for salvation. Because true faith is to lean upon God's word and to lean upon Christ. And of course, there's no contradiction between God's word and Christ, because Christ is the word made flesh. But you say, how does leaning upon God's word make a difference? Like this. It will not save you to know and agree that Christ is a saviour, but it will save you to trust him to be your saviour. You won't be delivered from the wrath to come merely by recognizing that Christ's atoning death is sufficient. But you will be saved by making Christ's atoning death your trust and your refuge. The essence of faith is to throw oneself on God's promise of salvation, that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. How can we illustrate these things? On some of our family holidays over the years, we've taken a boat ride on the sea or on a lake. The roughest journey was on the Irish Sea in a motorboat visiting the cliffs of Moher, which are some of the highest cliffs in the British Isles. We thought we'd selected a good slot in the weather, but the sea was very rough, the boat tipping this way and that way, up and down. Now, I was much more concerned that I was going to be sick than that I was going to drown. But suppose I had also thought about what would happen if I had gone over the side of the boat. Supposing I had gone overboard. And I was pretty sure, from memory, that there was a lifebelt on board. Just knowing that the lifebelt is on board wouldn't be enough to save me, especially as I can't swim. Now, if I were in the sea, I could acknowledge and assent that a lifebelt is an excellent device And I could agree that a lifebelt could save a drowning person, but that wouldn't be enough to save me from drowning. If I'd ended up in the RSC on that day, the only thing that could have saved me was if I was clutching on for dear life to that lifebelt, and I was firmly holding on, and the other end of the rope was tied securely to the boat. You know that Christ is a saviour of sinners. You may give agreement to the truth that Christ is able to save, but you will not be saved unless you trust him to be your saviour. Faith is to lay hold of Christ to be your saviour, your only hope of salvation. The closing four lines of the hymn that we've just sung express this truth, again in slightly older language than we're accustomed to use in everyday conversation, but it says, venture on him, venture wholly, rest on Christ, lay hold of Christ, let no other trust intrude. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Pray that God would give you the faith to seize hold of Christ to be your saviour. And faith is the channel through which your sins will be forgiven, your heart will be changed, and you will be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And such faith will lead you to live a life of faith. And in God's word, you are assured of everlasting life and an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Faith lays hold of Christ and believes that he is the Saviour, my Saviour. But then secondly, without faith, it is impossible to be saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But you'll notice that verse 6 is preceded as usual by verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did Enoch please God? He had faith in God. And that means he believed God. He trusted in God. He leant his weight upon God. And in all the strange and mysterious circumstances of Enoch's life, he leant upon God and upon God's wisdom and upon God's sovereign will. And as Enoch exercised true faith in God, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did the men and women of God in this 11th chapter of Hebrews please God? The answer for everyone is by faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab. And all the others recounted in verse 32. They were all, without exception, men and women of faith. They knew God, they believed in God, they trusted and held on to God. Now, from time to time, if we look in our Bibles, we find that others did something that was good, and yet God did not accept them. Think of Ahab, how Elijah came and found him in that garden, that vineyard that he'd just stolen from Nabal. But Ahab humbled himself, and yet his sins were not forgiven. Remember how Saul, when he was confronted by David so graciously, confessed his sin and said, "I've sinned against thee, my son David." But Saul never believed to the saving of his soul. We think of Judas, full of remorse for having betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But he went and hanged himself and was not saved. We think of Esau. We're told that he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What was lacking in Ahab, in Saul, in Judas Iscariot, and Esau? Why did God not accept them? They were lacking true faith. They did not rest upon the truth of God's word. They did not rest and lean their weight upon Christ. And through history, many would say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And they may have done many works and expended large sums of money or given many hours of their time in doing things for the church. But of all of those things, we must read these words, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Works without faith do not save. Without faith, it is impossible to be saved. But faith pleases God. And faith comes with its friend humility. Faith always comes with humility. Of course, vast millions are too proud to believe that God exists. Many are too proud to believe that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. We're told in the second half of this verse, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." How many refuse to believe the Bible is true? And yet archaeological find after archaeological find shows the Bible record to be true and accurate. And yet proud men refuse still to believe it. Evolution is a philosophy that doesn't stand up to close scrutiny. And yet the alternative, a creator God, is repulsive to many's proud intellect. We must, with humble faith, draw near to Christ, seeking forgiveness of our sins, praying that Christ would save us from the wrath to come. Because without faith, it is impossible to be saved. And we can say this, that without faith, there is no union to Christ. William Gadsby raises those searching questions in his hymn, "Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood, have I union to the church's living head? Am I quickened, made alive by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer, trusting wholly to his merit, casting on him all my care." Without God, without faith, it is impossible to please God and to have union with Christ. And without faith it is impossible to persevere in holiness. There are some who appear to respond to the preaching of the gospel. They give signs of spiritual life. But it is soon gone because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But of those we can say there was no spiritual saving faith and therefore no true spiritual life and thus no true holiness. Without faith it is impossible to be saved. But then thirdly, do you have that faith which pleases God? Do you have faith? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Are you resting by faith on the finished work of Christ as your only hope of salvation? True faith relies entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ. It has no other trust outside of Christ. It doesn't rely even one little bit on anything else except Christ. True faith also loves the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith gives us a strong desire to serve the Lord Jesus. True faith gives us a great love for God. It gives us a love for God's people and a love for God's word. Faith gives rise to love. But if you don't love Christ, how can you believe in Him? True faith gives true love for the Lord. True faith also gives obedience. True faith obeys God and loves His commandments and does them. True faith brings with it that faithful obedience to Christ and His word. Remember what Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Do you have faith? This is the vital question. This is a question for which you should seek the answer, yes or no. If you say, "I don't know if I have true faith or not," then our text goes on to say, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You must go to God through Christ, and you must plead with him, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Or maybe your prayer would be, "Lord, I want to believe. Help me to believe. Lord, give me the faith to stretch forth my hand and lay hold of Christ and his promises." And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Come then by faith to Christ. He will forgive your sins. He will give you a living union with himself. And he will bless you with eternal life. He will cover you from the wrath of God. He will blot out your sins. He will bring you into that near relationship with him, a son or daughter of the living God. And he will be your saviour for time and for eternity. How can we please God? By faith. May God give you that faith that makes you pleasing to God and that makes you safe from God's wrath upon sin. Amen.